Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Junkyard Dogcast. I am Jordan Hill. With me is Kip Adams. And Kip, I don't know how the weather was down there in Atlanta this morning, but I actually kind of had to put on some sweatpants. It's getting closer and closer to a little bit of fall weather. How is this Tuesday treat?
I love we start the show off with weather talk every week. I'm getting old here. The fact that I thought that was interesting. You know what? It feels like fall, and you know, I'm kind of in the same line with my dogs. I can't really be out too long. I don't like being out too long when it's over 75 degrees, really. And yeah, it felt like it was time for some porch time today. So I enjoy that breeze. I mean, that means, you know, this is it. We're in football season. And yeah, it feels like we're in it now. It's for real. And with the SEC schedule coming, you know, for Georgia this week, I mean, it's time to get serious. Let's talk some SEC football.
Absolutely. And let's jump into it. This is going to be a mailbag episode of the podcast. For the people watching live on Facebook, for the people who are on our message board, for the people tuning in on YouTube, if you guys have questions, be sure and let us know in the comments. We pulled a bunch of questions from our message board as well. And Kip, we're going to start with a banger from the comments. Alex Joyce says, Prize Picks has Stetson's passing yards at 294.5. Should I take the over or under? I'm going to go under, and we'll talk about this more. I think probably tomorrow we're going to have a chance to check in with some of our friends from the South Carolina site and preview that game. I'm going to go under because I think Georgia's really going to try to exploit what I think is a weak South Carolina defensive line. I could see Stetson getting, you know, 260, 270 yards. I'm not quite so convinced. Again, he's coming off a game where I know he didn't play the whole game, but he had just at 300 yards against Samford. I think I would hit the under. Kip, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a, you know, it's not as bad as it seems. It's not as great as it seems. You know, if you would have been going into the Samford game looking at, you know, the Oregon's numbers, you would have said the opposite. And it's kind of like, it's kind of where I am right now. You know, a lot of people looking at this Samford game and wondering what happened with the offense. I just think it's one of those letdown games, especially the second half. I'm looking at South Carolina, obviously. I mean, they're ranked 129 out of 131 teams in rush defense, and they're allowing like 250 yards a game on the ground, and they're going to be without two starters. You know, with a couple of their players, I think one of their linebackers or two of their linebackers having ACL injuries. So, yeah, I mean, your stance on this could be very well be accurate. My opinion is that this offense, Kirby Smart always says he builds it around what he has, who he has in personnel. And I think right now what the identity of this offense is that they trust Stetson Bennett, and they're putting this offense in Stetson Bennett's hands, and they think that's their strength. Now, playing to an opponent's, you know, weaknesses, I just don't think that's Georgia's identity. I mean, they're going to take advantage of mismatches, but I don't think they're going to change their offensive game plan based on the opponent, because that's just not Georgia football. Georgia football is to do what we know is we do best, and the opponent, we're going to let them react and them make mistakes. I still think Bennett comes out and throws the ball, you know, just as much as he has before. I think that's just where this team is right now. And if you're looking for leadership and experience, you're not going to get, you know, anyone with more than Stetson Bennett right now. I just think they trust him completely to make the right decisions. And I think that could be another game where he throws the ball 30 or more times.
So what are you taking, Kip?
I'm going with the over. I think Stetson Bennett comes out there and has 300, you know, 25 yards passing, throws the ball 30, 31 times, has a couple touchdown passes and has a touchdown run.
Another question from the comments, Damian Cox, is Roderick Robinson a flip? His grandfather works for me and he is works with me and he is a UGA fan. A little intel on
you're the insider on this recruitment, Damian. I mean, we should be asking you that question. Those Georgia ties are in there, I guess. Well, Georgia's definitely recruiting Roderick. I mean, that much I could say. They've been on him from the beginning. It's not someone who's just coming up now. He has been someone that Del McGee has had, you know, his sights on from the beginning. And I think that you look at his start to his senior season, he's putting up video game numbers. And I think that, you know, he's a guy that Georgia likes a lot. I think they'll get him on campus and they will try to pull that flip. I think if he comes in for that Auburn game, that'll be a game that we're watching to see if he's there. If he takes his official visit that weekend, you know, all bets are off. Once you get him on campus, anything is possible. And he is definitely a guy that you could see, you know, being very productive in Georgia's offense. And when you have a guy that, you know, as big as, you know, Kendall Milton is, when you have a guy that's 6'1" and over 230 pounds, that is a tough guy to bring down. And I think those California defenders are finding that out right now this senior season, because it doesn't look like too many guys are tackling them out there. So, if Georgia's able to flip them from UCLA, there you go. You got one of your running backs you need for this class. And I think they head to the portal for a second running back. He's definitely the one running back this cycle that we're keeping an eye on right now.
Yeah, Kip, I do that future dog watch each week, just looking at some of the stats I can find on these recruits. And that first week, I went to like three or four different places. I was like, is this right? Like, this has to be a typo. I mean, he ran all over who they played in that first week. And I think he's really a really talented running back, and I think he'll be somebody to watch, see if Georgia is able to flip him. Let's go to some of the questions from the message board. We're going to start with PRich08, who says, Dylan Bell, what do you guys think about him getting more time on the field with Ladd, Bowers, and Washington? I think he's got an opportunity, and I actually talked about this earlier today on a radio hit, talking about he could be somebody. Obviously, you want A.D. Mitchell out there, but it's very questionable at this point if he's going to be able to play against South Carolina. To me, Dylan Bell, along with Jackson Meeks, are probably the two guys that would benefit the most as far as additional playing time if AD can't go. Liked what I saw from Dylan Bell. There's a few plays that I think he could have made against Samford. There was one play in the end zone. Credit to the Samford defender. He did a great job breaking that play up. Later on, Dylan had a drop on the pass from Brock Vandegrift that I thought he should have made. But I like what I've seen so far from Dylan. And again, if he is given the opportunity, I mean, I think that's going to do wonders for him, because, you know, something that Kirby Smart has stressed throughout, going even back before the season, is they've got talented guys across the board, but they're so inexperienced. And if you can get a guy like Dylan Bell out there with those other receivers, I think it's going to do him a world of good as far as the long term in him developing and him understanding what's expected of him.
Definitely. I think that's where you find the value in this last week's game against Samford. You know, you rotate these guys in. Kirby Smart's trying to find guys he can trust. Like I just said with Stetson Bennett, they know they can trust him at quarterback. Who can they trust at wide receiver? You kind of know what you got it tied in a little bit there. Which pass catchers can they rely on whenever they're playing better defenses than what they've played in week one and week two? You got to really narrow it down to who you want to get the ball in key situations. Now, is Dylan Bell that guy right now? I'm not sure. You know, they might go with some more experienced guys against South Carolina and try to rotate Dylan Bell in later in the game. You know, maybe Kyaris Jackson, you know, Ladd McConkey's a guy you can trust. And then, you know, also Marcus Rosemy Jackson. I mean, these are guys that have played a lot of football for Georgia already. I think, you know, you have those guys in there. You rotate guys like Jackson Meeks and Bell in there when you can. But for right now, I think when you're going on the road for the first time, You got to have guys in there that you know are going to step up and play solid football for you early in the game. So I think Dylan's maybe a guy that rotates in there, but on those key plays, I think Stetson Bennett's going to go with who he trusts now, and maybe Dylan's a guy that can earn that trust in the next couple of games.
One of the big benefits from what was talked about during the preseason, I think it might have been Arian Smith talking about this, they expect those receivers to know those three different receiver positions. And it's beneficial when guys get hurt. They can have different guys step up and understand what's going to be asked of them no matter which role they are playing. So that's something to watch too. Talking about Dylan Bell, I want to take this question from my guy, Jacob Hudson. I saw that we had a ton of true freshmen play Saturday. Who looked good to y'all? Dylan Bell looked good. Mykel Williams had some good pressures. I really liked what I saw of Bear Alexander. He didn't play a ton, but he did a very good job, I thought, of getting after it, causing havoc. Going back again to Mykel Williams, I put this in one of my stories. That might have been yesterday. The play recognition he had at one point on a throw out to the flats, it was, again, that was his second career game. Very, very impressed. I think the sky is the limit for him. And again, I can't help but really hit on the fact that so many of his teammates and Kirby Smart have said nothing but good things about him. And we, you know, we've been around this program long enough. You know, Kirby is not going to give somebody praise that doesn't deserve it. It is not coach talk. If Kirby is going to praise somebody, they've earned it. I think Mykel Williams came out of that Sanford game looking really good. Kip, any of those freshmen or any other guys from that young group that you thought stood out against Sanford?
I mean, I got to continue to kind of praise. I don't want to give him too much praise, but, you know, I feel fairly confident he's not listening to the pod right now. But Malachi Starks, he just continues to impress. He earned that start, and, I mean, he has the look of he's one of those – he is who he thought he was kind of guys. He is looking like a potential all-conference safety, you know, maybe not right now, but he's definitely already showing that he belonged, that his ranking was legit, and that he can be a guy that can make a lot of plays for Georgia over the next 3 years. And just, again, two games in, I think it's really impressive what he's already been able to do. You also get to see a little bit more Branson Robinson, you know, making a guy or two miss. You want to, you know, get him some snaps and get him comfortable because, I mean, they're going to need him later this year. He's going to get, you know, a lot more playing time as they go through this conference schedule. And so you want to see him be able to continue to provide fresh legs. And obviously those legs are pretty stout legs, probably some of the most impressive quads we're going to see outside of Spencer Strider for the Braves. I think he's a guy that, again, a lot of people are wondering, when is Branson Robinson going to be the guy? You know, when is he going to get more carries? I got some pretty good running backs ahead of him right now. And so, you know, just seeing flashes of him was good. I think you just want to get him, you know, confident in him knowing that, you know, he can play FBS football and you know, he can play at this level. Because you got to have him prepared, especially if he's coming in on a third down play. If he's got to pick up a blitz, that's going to be a pretty important part of playing in this offense. So I think just seeing him get more confident out there should be great for his future as well.
As Jordan Harris mentioned in the comments, he came really close to getting that second career interception. Malachi was all over the place and being able to cause havoc. And again, you know, for them to trust him, put him in a situation, obviously he's lived up to it. He's done a very, very good job so far this year. Had a few questions in the comments about Eric Gilbert. So let's talk a little bit about him before we wind up taking a break. You know, Eric has been a guy that a lot of people have had questions about. You know, everyone thought that he was due for a very big year after the spring, and his role hasn't been exactly what people anticipated. I mean, my read on it, and Kip, you can jump in after that. You know, it's a situation where he really took advantage in the spring, the fact that Darnell Washington was not available. And, you know, for all intents and purposes and from everything we saw, Eric really took advantage of it and obviously had a big spring game. But then you come into the summer and the fall, Darnell Washington comes back. Before Darnell got hurt, Kirby Smart was talking about he was in the best shape that he had been in since he had been at Georgia. And so Darnell worked his way back to that shape. I think he surpassed Eric when it went to fall camp and having the chance to play out there. And I wrote about this last week. You know, we heard Kirby harping on Eric in practice and, you know, several times. And I always try to take that with a grain of salt when it comes to we're watching probably 10 minutes of practice. You know, this is going to be crazy stuff, Kip, but sometimes coaches ride players and we, you know, it's not the end of the world. But then you get into the situation and you see how little he's played. And I mean, how he's played kind of a minimal role at tight end, and you can kind of put the pieces together based on the context and what we've seen to see why the role he's played is what it is. Now, the thing is, it's a long season. You know, we're only two games in. All it takes is for Eric to get an opportunity and for him to make the most of it, that the whole narrative could change. And, you know, I don't think two games in, you should totally write off, well, he's not going to do anything notable or noteworthy to contribute. I think it's early in the season, and I think it's important to remember that this is really his first full season back, and obviously first one with Georgia. So it's a long season, and I would just say that it's too early to write off anything when it comes to him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors at play here. One, you got to earn it every day in practice, and I'm not here to say that Gilbert is not practicing well, but he also isn't competing against himself. There are other really talented tight ends in this group. And, I mean, when you look at Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington, those are guys that have been in the system for a lot longer than Gilbert has. You got to remember, he lost there was a whole season of him not being with the program where Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington were with the program. They know the system. They know the offense. And so for Eric Gilbert, his involvement in the offense is going to be a work in progress. Now, when you see a guy, a true freshman in Oscar Delp, you know, getting snaps and getting on the field before him, I mean, that's not a knock on Gilbert. That's just praise for Oscar Delp. And we said coming in this last recruiting class, I mean, this guy, he is one of those guys. And just like with Brock Bowers before, we said it's tough when you watch a freshman like Brock Bowers have the impact he is, and then try to compare Oscar Delp to him. All we could say is he's got that same mentality, and he's a 6'5", 225-pound pass catcher who is an outstanding athlete and has a similar work ethic. And so when you come in and he has, you know, he's able to get on the field ahead of Gilbert, that's praise for Oscar Delp. It doesn't need to be a red flag for Gilbert out there. And the fact that everyone thought Georgia's going to run three and found a way to have four tight ends on the field at the same time. One, they haven't needed to do anything like that, you know, and so they've had two tight ends on the field for a while. But, you know, the personnel that they choose to have might not be one where you get three tight ends or you have, you know, as many two tight end sets as people thought. So maybe the snaps aren't there yet. But at the same time, again, he's getting playing time. He's getting acclimated into this offense, and he's continuing to push himself to get better. That's what Kirby Smart wanted to see from him, and I think that is what he's seeing from him. To play to Georgia's standard, you have to put forth a certain amount of effort all the time, and I think that's where Gilbert is still, you know, acclimating himself to. And that's what you want if you're a Georgia fan. You want every player, regardless of what you knew about him before, to play to Georgia's standard. And the fact that he's here and he's playing again, very positive, and he's contributing to a team coming off a national championship. I think that he's got brighter days ahead of him, and I think he will be more and more involved in his offense as long as he continues to push and to go out there and compete on a daily basis. But if he doesn't get more playing time, it might not be him. He's playing with three other elite tight ends in that room.
If you're not sure about Oscar Delp, just ask some of these South Carolina fans, Georgia fans, if you guys come across him this weekend. They wanted Oscar Delp very, very badly, and obviously we're pushing to try to get him, and Georgia was able to land him. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we've got more questions. If you got more questions, jump in the comments and let us know, but we'll take a quick break and then come back and answer some more questions.
Everyone is talking about if.
I'm going to go to limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
This is just so exciting.
If. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.
Hello, everyone. It's Micah Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, we're going to take another question from our message board. And this was iJohns70 who said, should we be concerned with the number of sacks so far as the defense? And could that be something to watch going forward? This has been something that we've talked about a good bit so far through two games. And I think it's really just a product of the teams Georgia has played. Both of these offenses in Samford and Oregon have really worked on quick passes. And, you know, I was really struck, you know, if you had any question, if Kirby Smart knew what to expect with Chris Hatcher coming into town that Monday last week that they were going through practice that we got to watch. A lot of chasing down screens, a lot of getting those defensive linemen out to the perimeter, trying to track down the ball. And we saw that, I was struck rewatching the game that very first drive. I was like, man, I feel like I'm out there at the practice field watching them, you know, do that exact thing. I think that's really what it comes down to with that, the lack of sacks. Obviously, Mykel Williams has, I believe, the only sack so far this year, and he got it against Samford. But Kip, what's your thought as far as the pressure or the lack of sacks that Georgia has so far?
If teams want to come out and continue to do a quick strike to try to protect their quarterbacks, Georgia's going to be fine with that. It allows their secondary to keep the ball in front of them. And also, I mean, it ends, ultimately gets the offense off the field quicker. And if you look at time of possession, you know, that kind of matches up with it. Georgia is number one in the SEC. They're in the top 10 in the country. And time of possession, it's because teams are just throwing themselves right off the field. You can continue to do that, these short, quick plays. And again, you're not going to break large gains against this defense. And you're also going to not have a chance to convert a lot of third downs in that situation. So I just think it plays right into what Georgia wants. And I think Georgia is pretty fine with offenses continuing to try to do that. Do they want to be in the backfield more? Sure. I think even regardless of what the opponent's doing, Georgia wants to be able to have havoc plays. And so if you're looking at it from that aspect, sure. You can say this is an area where Georgia could improve in. And I think Kirby Smart's probably telling them that as well. But right now, you know, just given where Georgia is through two games and being the only team in the country that has yet to allow a touchdown, I think you have to be pretty happy with that. And so, again, there's still things to work on, but I don't think, you know, just like the offense, I don't think you could take too much from the first two games as far as what the identity is of the team overall. They haven't been tested yet. And I just think that you're going to be playing different football. If you're playing close games when it's, you know, a two touchdown, 10 points in the third quarter, I think you're going to see different play calls from both sides, opponents and Georgia's defense as well. And it's going to present more opportunities for Georgia to have havoc plays, to force turnovers and to sack the quarterback. So right now, I would not take too much from it. I just think it's just a product of the opponent's game plan so far.
Talking about the defense, one of the questions in the comments for you, Kip, was from Brian Bivens, who said, Kip, can you talk about what you want to see out of the linebackers and the defensive line? Just generally things you want to see going forward.
Yeah, I think right now it's really about the read and react. Can these linebackers find the ball and break down the play quick enough and take the right angles? You've seen that from these linebackers, you have some really fast players out there. You know, are these guys Roquan Smith out there yet? No, but you know, it took Roquan 3 years to really get to be the player that Butkus Award winner is. Once the game slowed down for him, he was actually able to play at his, you know, potential speed. So I just think for some of these guys, Smile Munden, you know, Xavier Sorey, these are guys that again can really get after it, and Tresman Marshall as well. They just need more snaps to be able to get more comfortable out there and reading and reacting and diagnosing the play. It really is about taking the right angles. If you get into a run fit and you're not in the right lane, you end up in the traffic, and it's not at all what this defense is designed to do. And then from the outside linebackers, I think Nolan Smith has done a pretty good job setting the edge so far. I think what he's been asked to do, he's done a solid job so far. Like what you've seen out of Robert Beal as well. I think as far as His ability to, you know, use power to get into the backfield. You haven't really seen that as much yet. Again, that's the design from these quick strikes the opponents are doing so far. I think on the longer developing plays, I think a guy like Robertville will really be able to wreak some havoc. And I think that's something you're going to see against Spencer Rattler this weekend. As far as the defensive linemen, so far so good from those guys. I think Zion Logue has shown that, you know, when he's on the field, he can do a pretty solid job taking on blockers. Really like what I've seen from Nazir Stackhouse so far. He's a guy that, you know, brings a little bit more explosiveness. He brings the ability to kind of disrupt a little bit more. And I think that's going to earn him a lot more playing time as the year goes on. And I mean, Jalen Carter's just doing Jalen Carter things, and that's just throwing linemen around and being a freak out there. And so I like the group so far. I think there's a good mix of physical talent, a lot of youth. And I think toward the end of the year, this group, like you said, a guy like Mykel Williams, Bear Alexander, I think once these guys get acclimated, the sky's the limit for that defensive line.
Yeah, you mentioned Jalen Carter. I tweeted this GIF last night of they had him stand up and rush, and it was just about the meanest thing I've ever seen somebody do to Samford. I mean, if I was Chris Hatcher, I would have given Kirby a little bit of grief over that because it's just not fair. I mean, he plays like that, you can understand why he's looked at as potentially the top pick when we get to 2023. We'll do a couple overarching questions, kind of looking bigger picture that we've gotten. And the thing that immediately strikes me would be from Munson's Broken Chair, players that we aren't talking about right now that we will be after the bye week, i.e. Jordan Davis. I'll give you a quick one, Kip, and then I'll let you take it. Mine would probably be at Nazir Stackhouse. I think he's got a chance to have a really good season. I think the fact that he's been called on is huge. And I think that he's going to have a chance to really make plays.
Oh, that's a really good pick right there. I definitely would have picked it if I had the chance to go first. I think he's going to be playing some great football toward the end of the year. Well, for me, I guess I'll go with Denylan Morissette. I think he's got a little, brings a little bit of everything to the table. The rotating guys in right now. And I think as far as, guys that can maybe stretch the defense a little bit more and kind of extend plays, explosive passing plays, I think he kind of brings that to the table. That's kind of an aspect of Georgia's offense right now that, they're kind of pushing the intermediate passing game. Is that, by design? We know Stetson Bennett can throw the deep ball. They haven't really attempted to do that too many times. It's not usually a high percentage play, but I think, a guy like Denylan Morissette, once he gets more comfortable out there, I think he can definitely be a guy that can have some big explosive downfield plays and put up some points for Georgia toward the end of the year.
For sure, for sure. And the last question before we get out of here, over the next 5 years versus Alex Joyce, would we be more surprised that Georgia won 2 national championships or 0? I'm going to say I'd be more surprised if it was 0 just because I think this team is talented enough to be a factor, and I think they have a chance to continue to be a playoff contender, and I think that they have a chance to add to what's been a really impressive, obviously, 2021. Kip, which way are you leaning with this one?
Yeah, I would definitely be more surprised if Georgia won 0. They have everything that they need right now from a roster standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, from a support standpoint. They are competing for the national championship every year. They played for it twice in the last 5 years. So, I would expect nothing less than them to play for it 2 more times over the next 5 years. So 0 national championships. I mean, if that means that I'd be more surprised if they don't even get to one. If they lose 2 national championships, I mean, you get there, obviously some things to fix, but you're in the right place. If they don't get the one in the next 5 years, they probably have to do some self-scouting and figure out, what's exactly going on. How has the landscape of college football changed? What did we miss? And I just don't see Kirby Smart being that kind of head coach. He's always looking for every single advantage he can get. Usually that involves the roster and talent acquisition, and there's not a better head coach in college football as far as maximizing that roster than Kirby Smart right now.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap this up. I'm actually about to hop on a radio hit down in Macon. I was like, oh, man, my phone's blowing up. But we're going to do that. Appreciate everybody watching. Appreciate everybody listening. Thanks, Kip, for hopping on. Appreciate the questions. Appreciate everything. And be on the lookout tomorrow. We will have an episode with the South Carolina crew looking for Saturday's game. So until then, everybody take care.
Go Braves.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.